morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I am here with Sierra Batory, a candidate for the school committee, Mama 3. Sierra, please tell us, introduce yourself and tell us about yourself.
Okay, well, my name is Sierra Batory, and I'm running for Pittsfield School Committee. I'm running because our kids deserve safe schools, supported teachers, and real transparency. As a parent, I've seen both the challenges and opportunities in our district. I believe if we put kids first, listen to families, and restore trust, Pittsfield schools can truly thrive.
Well, thank you, first of all. Thank you for running. Best of luck. What talents or experience will you bring to this position? I mean, being a mom of three is a lot of talent and a lot of position, but what else do you think you bring?
Well, one thing that I do want to restore is trust. I feel like, everything that's happened in our schools this year was a little bit chaotic. And families, teachers, and taxpayers, they don't feel heard or informed. I feel if we restore open communication and focus on what's best for our kids, we can start solving everything else.
Very good. Yeah, no,
Yeah.
that, yeah. I think that those are laudable expectations. Well, how do you believe you can contribute to this to the school committee by your experience and talents?
Okay, that's a great question. I mean, I am a parent, and
Yeah.
I am going to have a child, one in each school, elementary, middle, high school.
Wow.
So I just believe that, the kids deserve safe schools, teachers deserve to be supported, and we need to restore transparency back into our community, especially with everything that has gone on this past year.
Those are laudable things that you bring, and I thank you for that. This is a school question. How do you feel about students being permitted to have their cell phones on their person all the time they're in school?
Well, I mean, there's good and bad. And again, sometimes you can use your phone as a computer. You could look things up. It can help you with your schoolwork, but most of the times it is a distraction. So I feel like with something like that, it would depend on, what the teachers want in their classroom. Maybe they
Yeah.
can use it for the assignment. Maybe the teacher doesn't want them to use it, and, they want them to use something else. So for that, I think that it would depend on the teacher.
Okay. That's a good answer. Yeah. And I know Pittsfield school system now has some new cell phone restrictions or whatever policies or procedures, probably the better word. As we face this upcoming budget and all kinds of stuff, what do you think some of the challenges are going to be for the school department and the schools themselves?
Are you talking about like budget wise?
Yes, budget wise, they're talking consolidation and all of that. What's your take on those things?
I mean, well, we just wasted $155,000 on a report that nobody was able to read. So I think that we need to see, taxpayers need to see where the money goes, and it should go to the kids in the classrooms first.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. How do you feel about the restructuring of the schools?
I mean, there's good and bad to that. I mean, logistically, it does seem kind of like a nightmare, but it works out in other districts, and it could work here as long as we make sure, everyone can get to school. I'm sure there's going to be challenges with that. And also just kind of settling into something new. The kids are normally, like they're on a routine, and this is going to kind of break the routine. And as long as we could get them back to, like a routine and to make sure that, everything is set. I don't think it's a bad thing.
I mean, we kind of got enough. What do I want to say? Proof, resources or research that the middle school system isn't really working that well, as I understand it.
Well, I hopefully, the restructure that could definitely fix this, that. But again, we won't know until we try it. And I'm sure there will be bumps along the road.
Is a person who through his life in the real world had to implement plans, I can tell you, get ready for some hiccups.
Yeah.
Because nothing, it looks great on paper till you try to implement it.
Definitely. And with that many kids, I mean, you're gonna have issues no matter what. But again, we just need to be honest with parents on what's going on, especially with something so new.
I concur 100% with you. If elected, would you be willing to serve as an officer or a chair of a committee?
I mean, I haven't really thought about that. I'm kind of the underdog. So, I mean, me being chair, I'm like, that's not even a thought in my mind. Like, even just to get elected, I think would be like huge for me. Like I would be so honored. It would mean so much to me. So I honestly, I don't know how to answer that question because it just hasn't been a thought in my mind.
Well, that's a very legitimate answer. Thank you so much for doing that. Because I think it's important. You seem like a very involved and transparent person, and I applaud you for that. But you have kiddos in the school, so you hear every day from all three schools, or you will.
Well, I will. Right now, my middle child, she's in fifth grade, so eventually I will. And I mean, my son, he doesn't he's just kind of a like he's going to school, he's getting his good grades. He's not telling me much about what's really going on. But my daughters, oh my God, I know everything that's going on in their grade. Like I'm, and it's always kid stuff, and it's nothing ever like too crazy, but it's just it's one of my favorite parts of the day is for them to like let me know, like what went on in school.
And I think it's important too that you have that communication with your kiddos, especially in today's day and age. I can't think of anything more important than open communication with kiddos, with your kiddos. In your opinion, what are the most urgent concerns that need to be addressed within the school's department?
I feel like rebuilding trust with the parents because right now they don't have that. I feel like a lot of parents would go to school committee meetings and it was like talking to a brick wall. They weren't heard. None of their questions or concerns were ever addressed in previous meetings. So I think that we really need to work on that. And I think that's so important. The schools have their kids for so many hours a day. You're handing, the most important thing that you have off to, a lot of times strangers, and you're hoping for the best.
That's a very good point. But what do you see can be done or should be done, or where are we lacking in doing things, in your opinion, of course.
I mean, I just personally, I'd be on Facebook and I'd hear all these rumors and I'd be like, oh my God, that's terrible. There's no way that's true. And then, a week later on Parent Square, I'm getting a notification about it. So, I mean, I feel like the school committee, like everything needs to come from the school, like the rumor mill. We don't, I don't, nobody should find out things that happen in your school on somebody else's Facebook page.
That's really a good philosophy to have. And we're with all this, and again, I don't want to belabor this, but what did I want to say? I get worried about the kiddos sometimes when I see them like. There was a lot of criticism in the past about canceling school and all when it was cold and rainy. But I guess I have to say, I'm not that. What's your thought on that? Because we have a lot of kids. We have a lot of kids that walk to school.
Personally, if there's ever any type of, question of their safety,
Right.
even, regarding weather, yeah, cancel school. They can make it up when it's nice out. Everyone loves a snow day.
Yeah, and I thank you for that because that's how I feel. I live on William Street, and I see kids, walking, and some of them even now don't have, in my opinion, the proper clothing. Even like yesterday it was raining. I saw so many kids, just really, soaking wet.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no way to sugarcoat it. They were soaking wet. So again, I just really think we need to, as you say, think of all the kids,
Yeah.
all the
One
kids.
thing that they do at Capeless, my kids go to Capeless, is
Okay, great school.
they have a care closet, which this is so sweet and it's like so awesome. Where they have like extra things where if at recess it's too cold, you go visit the care closet and you can borrow, or if you need it, you just say, hey, I need this. And you're able to like take it with you, or you're able to borrow it for the day. Like my kids
Yeah.
forget their mittens every other day and they go to the care closet all the time. And I feel like that is just something so awesome that Capeless does. And if every school did something similar, it would really, it would make a difference.
Yeah, and you're so right with that. You see, I have to compliment. I know a little bit about Capeless. I can't say enough about what they do and the teachers there. As you well know, they give of themselves, and they chip in, and they built that closet, actually.
Yeah, they did. I love Capeless. Like when everything was going on, I was like, thank God my kids go to Capeless. Like
Yeah.
I trust everyone in that school. Everyone is awesome. Miss Duma's an awesome principal. There's amazing teachers. They're like, I cannot keep praise Capeless enough. It's the best school.
And how much time do you think you're going to have to devote to this, to should you be elected to the school committee? Because they have a lot of meetings and a lot of negotiations. I'll get myself in trouble, but I think sometimes.
Honestly, I wish they would let people running know upfront, like, hey, just expect to do this, expect to do that. Because I've looked into it many places and even read through all the documents that they gave me. They kind of don't tell you that. They're like, hey, run for school committee.
Yeah.
We meet, twice a month. But I know there is definitely so much more to it.
Oh.
And to me, I'm like, okay, well, I need. I'm a mom. I want to know what's going on in schools anyways. So like for me, this is something I'd probably look into anyways. I'd probably spend time doing this anyways.
Yeah.
So for me, I am willing to spend, as much time as I have. I am a mom. I do have a job, to make the schools, as best as I possibly can. I am only one person and, I know that it's not going to be easy, and I know not everyone's going to love me, and sometimes I'm going to do things that people don't like, but I am going to do my best.
You're a mom. You're a mom with kids in the school. You have, in my humble opinion, a vested interest. And from what I'm hearing from you, you're ready to make that time commitment because, and you, at least you've thought about it,
Yeah.
the time commitment. Because, as you know, during negotiations and all that, with the unions, the various unions, I mean, it can be a time-consuming job. But I think what I'm hearing, you're committed to doing it. So, I mean, good for you.
I am, I want my kids to walk into school and feel safe, and I want every kid to feel that way. I want every kid to feel how I want my kids to feel.
And when we talk about education, it's a whole lot of things. It's not just reading and writing and arithmetic, it's the socialization and all of that. And with kiddos in the school, What's your gut on that? Do you think there all of these various other things are being with sports and drama and singing and glee club or whatever? When I was in school, they called it glee club. I don't know what they call it now. But of course, when I was in school, Methuselah was into my class. But what do you feel will be your most challenging part of this job? And how will
I
we
mean,
deal
I
with it?
feel like the whole thing is going to be challenging. I mean, it is school. There is so many kids. There are
Yeah.
so many teachers. And obviously you want to make everyone happy, but you're not going to. So I
No.
feel like my biggest challenge is I don't want to disappoint people, and I know I'm going to eventually, because you can't make everyone happy.
Not all the time. Not all the time. And when you address these issues, and I think what I'm hearing is you've really thought about them. And is that because you have the real experience from your own kiddos? I mean, in the school, everybody wants their schools to be safe, but you seem to have some depth.
I mean, I just like my kids are my world. I'm sending them off just with someone, and then I'm hearing all these terrible things this year of stuff happening. I would wake up in the middle of the night and I would be like petrified. I'm like, oh my God, what is going on? So I feel like that's where this all stemmed from, like just everything going on and just being a mom and just being like, okay, what is going on? I think that and it's again, like my kids go, I feel like my kids do go to good schools. My other son, he goes to Reed. He never has any issues at Reed. And I know when I talk to other parents, they're like, they have other things to say. But me personally, I have no issues with Reed. My son likes going there. But still, you're still like, wow, if all this is going on in these schools, what's going on in my kids' school? You ask your kids questions and they're gonna tell you what they want to tell you, or what they feel like is going on, but you don't really know what's going on. So I feel like that's where it all stemmed from. Like I was hearing these terrible things. I was like, my kids go to Pittsfield Public Schools. I need to know what's going on. So I'd write school committee and I'd be like, hey, what's going on? And I'd ask for certain documents and I'd be like, hey, will you pull this for me? And it was like pulling teeth. Like they did not want to tell me anything. And it's like when somebody doesn't want to tell me something, this is just my personal opinion, I feel like they're hiding a lot. So then I'm like, okay, what are you hiding? So that's where it started to really, really scare me as a mom. Like, what's going on? And then when, they did that whole PHS report, I was like, okay, thank God. We're going to get some answers. We're going to know what's going on. And then they're like, nope, we're not releasing it. And then I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go to the state and I'm going to ask the state if you have to release this. And then the state's like, yeah, they have to release this report. It's paid for by taxpayers. They have to release it. So then I went to a school committee meeting and I'm like, hey, I have a state mandate. You have to release this report. And they still didn't. And I'm like, why are you not, following state orders? That also made me really scared. It's like, what is in this that you won't even follow like a direct order from the state? And we still don't know what's in it.
That's a good point, and I'll have to follow up on that because I guess I've been asleep at the wheel, but I'm 78 years old. I fall asleep
I
everywhere.
f save if I'm tired, I probably could fall asleep anywhere.
You brought so many positive things, but you also brought some things that you really want to dig into and get answers to, or at least look at policies or this report. How will you do that working with your colleagues on the school committee?
I mean, I think that we all just need to be honest with parents, even with teachers, and even with everything going on, if people were honest with me, I probably wouldn't be so, so even, you hear something and even though it's bad, you're like, okay, well, in a school, sometimes things are going to happen. But
Absolutely.
parents just want to be told what's happening and then also a follow-up, like what are you going to do about it? And I feel like that's what we were lacking.
And
Like
I don't
I
think
just want to know what's going on, whether it's terrible or good. Let me know, but bad things are going to happen. There's 4,800, 4,900 kids in the school system. Things are going to happen, but you have to be honest, and then you need to let us know, you know, going forward, how maybe we could prevent this. And I think that we all just want, we want transparency, and I want transparency, and I just want to know what's going on in the schools. Like, I give you three of my kids, they're my world. If something happens, I need to know.
Oh, I concur 100%. And if we need more transparency, and it should you get elected to the thing, then articulate how and how we all get it. And I think that that's certainly a goal for sure. I think to all the people that, like you say, our kids and grandkids, they're our closest possessions. And you know, we I don't think you're off base wanting to know more than, you know, than when something happens, we need the facts,
Yeah,
you
we
know.
definitely need, these are our kids. Like, we need to know.
And I don't I think the schools have become a focal point for the city, and I applaud you for running for office, especially school committee. It's a very, not that the council isn't, but the school committee, in my humble opinion, is a very heavy and important weight that the members have to carry, because they have the good of the children, and they are the future.
They don't, the kids are our future. And, you know, Pittsfield's future depends on the choices that we make for our kids today.
And you know, with kiddos that are going to be in every school, and it, should you win, you're going to have I don't want to say a direct influence, but you'll certainly have a good resource as to information. I do want to say this before I forget, because at my age, I forget where the car is. So, I applaud you for taking the stance that you've taken about the safety piece, because to me, safety in the schools is one of the most crucial things we can do.
It definitely is. And that's one of the reasons why I'm running, because, you know, it is crucial. We need to make sure our kids are safe.
We do. And you know, I wish you the very best of luck. And again, I know I repeat myself, but when you get to be 78 years old, you can repeat yourself too. You kind of have to repeat yourself at 78, so you know what you said. I would get you have about 4 or 5 minutes to tell the voters why they should vote for you.
Okay. Oh wow, a lot of pressure.
Oh no, there is
And
you've done
honestly,
fine.
I just want people to vote. Even if you don't vote for me, there are awesome names on the ballot. Like, we're so lucky with some of the people that are running. So just vote, even if it's not for me. But Pittsfield's future does depend on the choices that we're making. I'm running for school committee because every student does deserve to feel safe, supported, and every teacher deserves respect. And every family deserves honesty from their leaders. I'm not a politician, obviously, by any means. I'm a mom, I'm a neighbor, and I'm an advocate, and I'll always put our kids first. Together, we can bring back accountability and rebuild the trust in our school, in our schools. And so that's it. That's all I got.
That's well, I'll tell you, that's quite a bit. But I'm unfair. I have to ask you one last question.
All
Did
right.
you happen to see the presentation of the man about readjusting curriculums for AI education?
I did not see that.
Okay.
I'm not gonna lie. I didn't see
No, well,
that.
that's fine. I happen to watch it, and I would say to you, when you're on the committee, or even if you don't, you can get that. Call over to WTBR or
Yeah.
PCTV, and they'll tell you how to access it on Open Line.
Yeah, that does seem really interesting. 'Cause AI, it's taken over.
Oh, I'll
It's
tell
all
you.
over the place.
They said they're going to do away with talk show hosts. So good thing I'm retiring anyhow. But I wish you the very best, and I mean this from my heart. Thank you. again, a mom of three running. I can't thank you enough for doing this. I wish you the best of luck. And as me saintly Irish mother used to say, if it's meant to be, it'll be. So
Definitely. So yeah, just everyone go vote. Because
that's the important
our
thing.
kids depend on it. So
Yes.
thank you so much. I appreciate you talking to me.
Well, I
This
appreciate
was my first time doing an interview,
you did
especially
great.
about this. So
You're great.
I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. I like everything. I'm like, oh my, I was super nervous this morning.
Well, I
but I
hope I made it
appreciate
easy for you.
it was. I appreciate you and I appreciate you talking with me. So thank you so much.
You bet. And we may, I appreciate you again doing it. And tell your kids they got a great mom from an old.
Oh, that means the world to me. Thank
Well,
you so much.
you bet. That's my opinion. And the views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way, no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, School Committee, or Mayor Marchetti in the mayor's office, Peter White in the city council, and or the guy riding his bicycle south on the northbound lane on North Street. Be well, Sierra. Best of luck.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
We all know WTBR is great to listen to on 89.7 FM, but did you know that you can listen to WTBR just about anywhere? We've got a web stream, and it's easy to use. Go to WTBRFM.com on your computer and click play. You can use the TuneIn app on your smartphone and connect it to your car's sound system. Or you can use your smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, play WTBRFM, and there's your community radio station. WTBR, for the love of radio.
The Berkshire Coalition for Suicide Prevention recognizes that everyone has a role at saving lives. Through ongoing discussion and education, we may be able to recognize the warning signs and understand how to confidently address the subject of suicide in order to save lives. It takes just one person to offer hope and save a life. Contact the Berkshire Coalition for Suicide Prevention at berkshirecoalition.org for more information.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Every Sunday night at 10 p.m., something strange happens to the airwaves of WTBR-FM. It's called The Mix. It is an experience like no other on this part of the planet. Witness a collection of fresh and classic beats that are guaranteed to make you move. The best part is, it is mixed completely live, uncut, unedited. So, for an exciting end to the weekend, tune your radio to WTBR-FM Sunday nights from 10 to midnight for The Mix.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at sundrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. Today, as you know, we're interviewing the candidates because we feel we want you, the voters, to know as much as possible about the candidates. I'm honored to have with me today Matt Wrenn. He's sitting, he's going for re-election. And I always thought he was so smart, but he's going for re-election. And he's the Ward 3 council person right now. He's running basically unopposed, which is says a lot about him, I believe. So without further ado, foie gras, soup du jour, Matt, welcome. And
thanks for having me. Yeah, I love coming on and chatting with you.
Well, I'll tell you, I thank you, and I wish you luck. I thank you for running again. You know what it's like, so you can't say, "Well, you've been through some really harrowing times with the homeless situation and some of the other things, the schools and all that. So, you came back, and thank you for that, because it takes. And you're a family guy, and it takes time and family and all that. So good luck to you.
I appreciate that. I wouldn't have done that without the support of my family. My wife's a saint. She just allows me to do these things, and she picks up the slack. So wow. I guess the shout out goes to her for her, plus working and having to deal with the kids and all their activities and stuff like that. And allowing me to go out and do this is really the biggest blessing, to be honest.
And again, what made you decide? I mean, you had to do this as a family, but you had to say, "Sweetie, I want to run again." What brought you to that point?
I would say the learning curve of, I really didn't get my feet under me for a few months, and I really want to continue, and try to get some of the problems fixed, and really try to come up with some more innovative ideas. I'm lucky the fact that I'm running unopposed, because I've been able to focus on the work, not deal with campaigning. You're not going to catch me gaslighting anywhere to try to win votes. I'm just trying to make sensible solutions for the city. Like you said before, we're dealing with some tough times, and there's been a lot of, controversial issues, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
I've learned a lot from different sides, and I really think we're at a point where we got to stop thinking, all right, liberal and progressive and Republican and progressive, it doesn't matter now. These are what's best for the city. The municipal government should have zero to do with your political party affiliation or anything like that. And I think, it started out with good intentions by the mayor with the ordinance. I think we're at a point now where we have to scrap the entire thing, start from scratch, and create some other ideas. I'm prepared to, in January, maybe touch base with the higher ups, as they say, to, I'd like to create a downtown community initiative. And we gather, the sheriff's office, the police department, community service workers, social workers, and try to think of a solution. Because, I'm at the point now where, with the stuff that I've looked at, I'm not sure all the riffraff that's happening downtown is all the homeless folks. I'm sure there's a handful and a percentage of them that are involved in this type of activity, but I think a lot of it is, I'm dating myself saying troublemakers, but obviously mental issues in this are huge, and mental disorders and mental health are causing a lot of these problems. And I don't necessarily think any ordinance, even if it went through, is going to be enforced properly. And, I think we need to do other things except, get yelled at by people at open mic. That's not helping anybody. People calling my house and calling me a fascist is not helping anyone.
No, it's unfortunate. I have to say, it's unfortunate that you public servants and good people are subjected to all of this. And I agree. I do agree that some of the goings on North Street are not just homeless people.
Right.
I'm on North Street probably two, three times or four or five times a week. I see some of the issues. You brought up mental health. We have to work to get more mental health professionals here to the Berkshires. We have a huge shortage. I've been around a long time. I was a beat cop on North Street when there were we used to call them street people. They never slept. But the point was they never did any damage. They right. just, but as we go forward now, solving the homeless problem is multidimensional.
Right.
I think so too many people don't give you, the council, the mayor, the and the police and everybody a fair shake.
You know, at least we're trying. You know, I mean,
That's
it's not
right.
it's not an exclusive problem to Pittsfield. It's
Oh.
worldwide. This isn't just, you know, exclusive to Berkshire County or Pittsfield. And, you know, if we could figure out a solution, I think we would apply that solution. But the problem
Absolutely.
is, like you said, it's multifaceted. There's so many variables involved with it that you can't even really, you know, and I hate, I don't, I'm sure there's a scientific method to people that say, oh, there's a, what's the root cause? Well, there's probably 20,000 different root causes of homelessness. You know, could be mental problems. It could be drug addiction. It could be financial issues. It could be the loss of it. It could be a million things. And it's just not going to be an easy fix with one ordinance or, you know, a group of 25, you know, do-gooders that want to complain to everybody that this is happening. So I think we got to do some more research on it, scrap the whole thing. And, you know, we there does need, you know, we there needs to be ordinances, right? I mean, and you got to have consequences for these ordinances or else it wouldn't even be a rule or, you know, a law. So, you know, we got to come together here and there's got to be consequences for actions. You know, you want to defecate on a business owner's door, then you should be prosecuted. You should be locked up for it. And the thing that gets me is everybody's kind of been siding with, you know, the homeless advocates. It's like, what about these business owners? We wouldn't have anything if it wasn't for these business owners. And most of them have kept their mouths shut for years. And finally, they've, you know, come to the forefront and really kind of and said, you know, this is what's happening. It's affecting my business. I'm losing customers and it's their livelihood. And I just want to be able to get out there and fix, you know, not fix the problem, but like be accountable to both sides.
Sure. Yeah. No, I think that's a legitimate approach to a very complex problem. There's no silver bullet that we can just fire and everything's fixed.
Right.
When you talk about building more housing, that's great. Who's going to pay for it?
Right.
And if we're finding out, it's not cheap.
No. And we are, you know, we're doing, and that's what gets me, was why everybody's upset at the city and the councilors and the mayor and the solicitor. We are making efforts to make housing, you know, and just it's we are accommodating, we're trying to accommodate at both sides, you know. Sometimes I feel like it's one-sided accommodating one side than the other, but there are efforts being made.
There really are, and I again, to all of you who are sitting on that council and the mayor, who just people were just mean-spirited, and nothing gets done when some of the people who acted the way they acted act. Nothing gets done.
Well, one guy, you know, he comes up and he's got an insulting song for us if we didn't vote one way.
Yeah.
You know, he seems to have a lot to say about the city and everything like that, which is he's entitled to. You know, they're all entitled to it. But they seem to forget that, you know, a lot of these, they wouldn't have a lot of things if it wasn't for the city. You know, you get a certain community grant for money to open up a business or a nonprofit, and you're going to criticize the mayor and everybody else. They went out on a limb to make sure, out of all the hundreds of other businesses that applied for certain grants, you got a grant and now you're slapping it in the mayor's face. So what do you do, you know?
Well, somebody once told me when I get into this business, and I think I shared it with you, when you go and put yourself out, you better have the skin of an armadillo.
Right.
Because I don't mind you come after me and stuff. That's fine. That's I'm fair game. But when they go after your families and they call your house and they do
right,
all this,
right.
That to me, that's out of bounds.
When I'm getting Facebook messages on my personal account, and you know, which I generally use for share pictures of my children and my family, and you know, stupid sports memes and stuff like that. I don't need somebody calling me a fascist or a racist because I might have been in support of a homeless or camping ordinance in the beginning, you know.
Yeah. Well, and I think too that what you're doing, all of you, all the people, especially the ones that are the new ones and the ones that are running for re-election, thank you, because that's what makes the system work. Thank you, and good luck to all of you. I wish you could all be elected. What do you believe? We kind of touched a little bit about it now, but the biggest challenges facing the city over the next 2 years.
You know, I'll step aside from the homeless concerns because obviously there's other issues. You know, just the infrastructure. We are doing our best. We're fixing roads. We are, and I know it's another hot topic was the fiber optics.
Yeah.
That's going to move us forward because maybe people are going to want to work here because now they have the opportunity for to utilize fiber optics for technology.
Yeah.
I am all for that. If it can get me, you know, even for me, I work at home a day or two a week, and, you know, I can utilize faster service for my job that could bring in other industries, technology companies, even maybe, I think we got to get a good grasp on crime. I think our police department does a phenomenal job anyway.
Right.
So I don't have a bad thing to say about them. But, you know, we still got to be more proactive and not reactive to a lot of the crime problems. You know, there's a, like I said, with the infrastructure and the roads, you know, in the beginning of this process 2 years ago when I got elected, I was against speed bumps. I was against, you know, all this stuff. The more I learn, the more families I talk to, you know, the road narrowing and all and the speed bumps, I'm for in certain situations. You know, and I think like our, you know, DPW and our city workers that are out there every day. Now we're short staffed too. I'm sure that's, you know, well documented.
Yep.
We got to cover, you know, what, 42 square miles for a city of Pittsfield.
Yeah.
And you have, you know, under 50 people working. It's tough to do. So I think we got to figure out how to get people to work for the city. And we got to make sure, you know, they're taken care of.
And I will tell you, too, back pre-2.5, I think we had almost 80 people working in just a DPW.
Yeah, and we are, you know, I can hear, I'm ready now for when the snow comes where they haven't plowed my street. I get it. They'll get there. You know, they'll get there.
Yeah.
You know, I got, you know, I sometimes get in a tizzy and I'm texting everybody and, hey, this, you know, this person needs, you know, a street sweep or the you know, the drains need to be, you know, cleaned up. And I'm like, oh, I forgot, you know, there's, you know, 1,700 other streets that need the same thing right now. And are they going to drop everything for me? So.
Well,
I need a parking sign put up. Can you get out there ASAP to get that here? The neighbors don't like the people parking in front of their house for 4 hours. And you know, I think we got to be mindful of, you know, of what we're doing.
Oh, I do too. And I applaud you for having that vision because really and truly there's so many really pressing issues. Somebody has to sit down and prioritize. And that priority can't be set in concrete because, like you said, we can get a bad snowstorm. You know, we'll have to pull people from, you know, wherever. And I think, too, sitting on the council, and you, I applaud you for saying this. You've learned. You know, God rest, I've said this before in a couple of minutes. Jimmy McCaffrey was on the city council probably before you. Jimmy said, it took me a year to find out where the bathroom was. So, but he said, you know, that year I listened and learned.
Right.
And I think, and going back to the fiber optics, that's the future. I watched that meeting and I was scratching my head. I guess I don't know what the issues were. These people are national companies, underground or above ground. I think everything should be underground today.
You know, and even like, and I'm spoiled. My neighborhood, all the utilities are underground.
Right.
And yes, it's a hassle if you got to have a cable wire replaced, but it's more efficient, you know. And as far as the you know, two or three different fiber optic companies want to come into town, beautiful. That's good for the consumer. I mean, you know, this company's going to give me a better deal than this company. Okay. And in 2 years, I'll switch over and go to this company because they're going to, you know, they have something more logical for me to use. Sometimes we got to get our feet out of the cement and move forward and think about, you know, if we want this community to thrive and be better, we got to move forward.
We got to be part of the 21st century. You know, we can't fall back on the old civil service. Well, we've always done it that way.
Right.
Well,
it's good enough for government work, right?
Yeah, close enough for government. But that just doesn't, you know, one of the other things, too, that concerns me, and because I think the world of the police department, I was part of it, but they're running so short and they're under such demand. And civil service is archaic. I mean, it's a dinosaur. We can't be waiting two years plus.
Right.
To get somebody on the job in the academy, back on the job, hired, and we can't afford it.
You know, and I'm not sure where we're at with lateral transfers from other departments. I know there's been a few recently that have come over, so I think that's something we need to try to push to, so we can get some. You know, maybe you got somebody that worked in a larger city that wants a little more. Something more. You know, this is a good community. I know there's crime, and I know there's some guys that are on the street right now are probably saying, "Counselor, you're wrong. It's hell out here." But I get that. But it's worse in other places. Trust me.
Oh,
and I know, you know, our resources for the police department are tied up in certain things, and they're doing great work. But you know, we need more people. They need more people. You know, I'd love to have, you know, two guys walking up and down North Street from, you know, 6 a.m. till 6 p.m. Yeah. And moving people along, or, you know, dealing with the problems head on. But there's not enough people, because if we have one guy that's out there, you know, mitigating someone pooping on somebody's front steps, there's also a domestic somewhere in town that needs an officer and the counselor out there for help.
It's a constant challenge for the PD, and they have made several really good initiatives. Working with the DA's office and all that stuff. I think you're right. And I also think, too, here's my pet peeve. First time I'm sharing it on air. Electric bicycles on sidewalks.
On sidewalks.
Humongous biking lanes.
Right.
And I almost got run over the other day coming out of St. Joe's Church. Two young people riding their motorized bike on the sidewalk really fast. So
how do we enforce it? You know, and I agree with you. I mean, and that's, you know, maybe that's just the way I am and the way I was raised. Like, okay, I'm on a bike, I gotta be in the street, I shouldn't be on the sidewalk. There's elderly folks walking the sidewalk, there's handicapped people on the sidewalks.
Me, elderly.
But I wasn't gonna say that. But
well, I appreciate it.
You know, how do we enforce it? You know, and it's like, for example, I have a constituent over in, you know, on Brattle Street in that area, on the opposite side of in the Longview area of Brattlebrook Park.
Yeah.
And you got four wheelers and quads and motorcycles going back there and ripping up the thing. And it's like, how do you stop it? You put up a sign. We don't have the physical manpower to put an officer there saying, "Oh, move along, go somewhere else."
Yeah.
It just, you just can't do it. You know, is it about education and teaching, you know, how to behave in a way? I don't know. I don't know. I know that if my kids tried to pull that stuff, they'd be
in
trouble.
I think that's one thing, too. Parents, I'll say it again. Parents, tell your kiddos, you know, responsibility comes with owning one of those, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Hey, let's move along. What do you find to be the most rewarding part of being an elected official?
Honestly, it's just getting a phone call from somebody that has a problem, and then being able to resolve that problem for them and just having them say thanks, you know, and, "Oh, I had no idea I could just call this person at City Hall."
Yeah.
Or, you know, I could, you know, file this piece of paper, or, you know, put the complaint in through PitSmart. And then to call me and say, "Hey, you know, I really appreciate your help. That means a lot." It's just the little things like that that I enjoy. You know, I like the fact that I try to be good with everybody. I know I had said before that I, you know, might text and hot hands emails about complaints, but I truly am appreciative of these folks that work for the city and do their jobs. And you know, like I said, we had 40 square miles, and these guys are doing these folks are doing their best to make sure that they're doing work and good work and providing good services.
Do you, sometimes I feel that the council doesn't always address some of the city workers, city managers or directors, I think sometimes they're questioning their tone. They need to be more respectful. That's my opinion. And
like the counselors need to be more respectful of them.
Yeah. I mean, even some of the people that come in that want to help the city bring in business and stuff.
Yeah.
You drag them over the coals for what?
Right.
For what?
I don't know. I'm the old book of, maybe it was 12 years of Catholic school, but of you treat everybody with respect and how you treat people how you'd want to be treated,
exactly.
Whether you agree or disagree with them. I don't think it helps anybody for you to attack the fiber optics guy or the people
garbage.
Trying to bring in or the garbage guy. I mean, they're just doing their jobs, you know.
The poor guy from Casella, you know. I mean, if you watch them, I watched them, and I've defended them, and I will continue to defend
them.
Because it's not an easy job. We got parking on the street. It's brutal in the winter. And they've got to reach over cars and grab a couple of people. Yeah, well, guess what? When I come out, my can was laying on its side.
Well, there's wind.
Yeah, it was wind or was your
nobody
car
says anything.
There?
Nobody says anything about the guys that get out of the truck, walk around the side of the house, and they're dragging the barrels out for the folks that can't.
That's exactly right.
You know?
That's exactly right. And all of them. I've seen, where there's a kerfuffle and some of the stuff falls on the road. They stop. They get out. They shovel it. They throw it in the truck. They don't leave it. So, I mean, we've got to be – it's one thing to be asking questions. It's another thing to be asking questions with an agenda. And I'll just leave it at that. And
I know what you mean.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department School Committee, Peter Marchetti in the mayor's office, Peter White in the city council, and or the person riding their bicycle on the sidewalk in front of St. Joseph's Church as Mass is getting out. What do you find the most rewarding part of your job?
Yeah, just like I said, like the being able to come up with a solution and having people be grateful for it, and making a difference on things. You know, I know people are probably sitting back going, oh, yeah, you guys are making a real difference. Sometimes we do. And sometimes our decisions and our choices do make a difference in people's lives.
What do you think the most challenging thing is going to be? I know we started to cover that. There's homeless, but there's so many others.
You got the restructuring of the schools that I hear a lot about. I don't necessarily agree that this is a good move while we have an interim superintendent. Albeit I've met with the interim superintendent. I think she's great. I think she's got good, innovative ideas.
Yeah.
She's experienced in many different communities in this country. So she gets it. And I hope it's like, whoever's president, right. You should want that person to be successful. Cause if they're successful, we're successful. I wish her to be successful and fix the issues with the schools. With the transparency and, the other problems. And ultimately, if they want to restructure down the road, I think it's something we could circle back and look at in a few years. I don't think it's something we need to jump on or rush through. This is, let's rush through. We have to rush through. We got to make sure, I don't think that's the best idea. They're worried about the bus routes for kids, I'm dealing with some constituents right now that don't feel that their bus route for their child is safe right now. Where their bus stop is in relation to where they reside.
Yeah.
And, they seem to think it is, but agree to disagree, let's move forward and think of different ideas. But like I said, I don't think it's a good idea to take on such a major restructuring project with so many new folks in administration.
Yeah.
Lack of teachers, lack of retention of the teachers, lack of recruitment of teachers. I just think we need to go in another direction.
And
a new school committee too. You're going to have a virtually completely new school committee coming in.
Yep. And Kristen Benke, who's been a rock,
gone.
Is leaving. Yeah. I mean that rocked my boat, and I'm not even in the water.
And she, you know, she butted heads with all I should say we all butted heads with her, I would say. But she's sharp and she knew exactly where everything was and where it was going. So I think now you're gonna have somebody else come in and they're gonna have to handle it. And I'm not necessarily sure that that's
And
the most responsible way to do it.
it's massive. It's all kinds of regulations and grants, and this grant's got strings to it. And you know, as a business person, you got about 4 minutes left, Matt, to tell people why they should vote for you for Ward 3 again.
All right. Well, I'm humbled that I was out given the opportunity, you know, nearly 2 years ago to serve the community and the people of Ward 3. You know, my voice and opinion helps the whole city as a whole, not just as Ward 3. We'll continue to be, you know, responsive, transparent, and always, you know, always, you can always get a hold of me. You know, it's may not get back to you right away, but generally I get back to every single person that contacts me, even the ones that have nothing nice to say. So I appreciate the support.
And I don't you think too that the you get a few snide people that you know that they that I know a couple that get up in the morning and go, oh damn, the sun's out, you know. But the majority of the people that I bump into or call me or text me or whatever, they're complimentary, but boy, you there's a few really difficult people. And I applaud you for doing it. You're a family man. One last quick question. How do you devote your time to this? Because this is I want people to understand this isn't just Tuesday, every other Tuesday night.
You know, I take it as it comes. I like Friday afternoons, for example, I devote to, you know, emails and paperwork and calls, or I'll go out and meet somebody and take a walk of the neighborhood, or but I you know, I'm in the car a lot for work too, and I make a lot of phone calls in the car. You know, I respond to a lot of text messages, not while driving, in case anybody's listening. But it's, you know, I like to be busy, you know, so for me to be busy and make time for all of it, it just works. You know, and like I said, my wife's a big supporter of it. My kids are now interested in city government
Oh, good.
based on this. They'll watch the meetings, and they'll come up with ideas. And you know, my 9-year-old daughter's talking about we should have this color crosswalk,
I
you know, in
agree.
this neighborhood. You know, we should, and it's a good point, you know,
Yeah.
and
I
so
think we
it's
should be
really a
like
family
Dalton and
affair,
Lennox. Be
right?
like
I mean,
Dalton and Lennox. You can see the crosswalks before you
right.
run the person over.
Right.
Matt, I thank you once again for running. I also thank you for all that you've contributed in your first term. The system only works when people run for office. Now,
Correct.
listeners and viewers, your job is to get out and vote. This is a midterm election. They pr awful predictions of how what the percent of vote. You need to get out and vote. And like I said and say all the time, when you drive to a cemetery, you see all those flags. At one point in their life, they signed on the dotted line to die so you could vote. So if you can't give up a half an hour of your precious time to vote, then don't vote, don't gripe. That's my motto. Don't vote, don't gripe. You had an opportunity to voice your opinion or your dismay, and you didn't do it. Matt, best to the family. Say hi to mom and dad.
Thank you. I will do.
And thank your beautiful wife and children for letting you do this.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Phil.
All right. Good luck. Thank you, my
Thank
friend.
you.